For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I don't know about tomorrow. Live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry your future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him. Things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining, there no tears will dim the eyes. At the end of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Few programs I have been teaching on what will happen during the hour of the tribulation. The Apostle John is witnessing and seeing incredible things, and he is trying to explain them to us the way he saw them. He did not understand many of the things that we understand today. So he tried to explain them the best way he could. And then when we study the book of Revelation, you have to try to identify what he meant by what he said. So we sometimes become a little confused when he explains something that we have a problem
of identifying. But he seems to be explaining the tribulation in this way. He takes a subject, he takes something that happens from the beginning or from the middle of the tribulation, and he explains it all the way to the end where Jesus comes back. And that happens with many different subjects that he is touching. One has to study the book of Revelation from that point of view, and then you can start making sense of it. And then in chapter 19, the Apostle John switches from the things that go on here on earth to what happens in heaven. We have to remember that in Revelation chapter 4, John was taken up into heaven. And there in chapter 4 and chapter 5, he explains what takes place around the throne and how the tribulation begins. So in Revelation chapter 6, he changes the scene from heaven to this planet. And this is where he sees the Antichrist beginning to operate on this planet with peace and then with deception, destruction, and death. And then finally right in the end to where Jesus comes back. But in Revelation chapter 19, he changes from the scene of this planet right in the middle of the tribulation and explains to us what happens in heaven. He sees the bride of Christ. God shows him what will happen to those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ before the tribulation. And there is a marriage supper of the Lamb that is taking place in heaven while the tribulation is here on earth. So this is quite an interesting situation. The peoples of this planet are experiencing incredible horrors, whereas we, the bride of Christ in heaven, are experiencing a marriage, a supper, an incredible celebration. And today I will explain to you out of the Word of God on what will happen to the bride of Christ, the people who have been raptured just before the tribulation. What will happen during the hour of the tribulation when they are in heaven? And before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God, for the hope that you have given us. We thank you, O precious Heavenly Father, that this is soon going to come to pass. We ask that you will open the hearts of the listeners today so that they can start to rejoice in the future that you have set out for us. I ask that you will bless the listeners today in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle John is explaining things that are happening in heaven. Before that, he explained things that were happening on the planet. He saw how the religious systems have been destroyed. He saw how the martyrs of Christ, the ones who turned to Jesus for salvation, had been killed. And now all of a sudden he shows us a picture of what is happening in heaven during the hour of the tribulation. For he hasn't come back yet with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist has not set up the armies to defeat our Lord God yet. So this is something that happens in heaven in the 7-year period of the tribulation. It tells us in verse 6 of chapter 19, "And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." And then it goes on in verse 8 and tells us, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here is what's happening. John sees the bride of Christ. He looks out into the future, and he sees the incredible glory of the bride of Christ. And he is so overcome by it that he fell at the feet of him that showed it to him to worship him. Can you imagine of the? We cannot imagine the beauty and the holiness that the church possesses in that time. We see here one another today as human beings, saved by the grace of God. But in heaven, John sees the beauty and the holiness of the bride of Christ, and he is so overcome by it that he fell at the feet of him that showed it to him and wanted to worship him. And that person said, Don't do it. I am like you are. I was also redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we study that, we need to understand how the bride of Christ got her holiness and her beauty. And it's not by keeping some religious thing here on this planet. I will explain to you out of verse 8 of chapter 19 how the bride of Christ became so holy and so beautiful. And it says, To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The Bible teaches us here that a fine linen was given to her, a robe of righteousness. We have to understand that she had nothing to do with it. She did not accumulate that fine linen by herself. It tells us here that she was granted, it was given to her. Many religious people need to understand that. And the bride of Christ here on earth needs to understand that. You do not gain that fine linen by your righteousness. It is given to you. The Lord Jesus Christ gives it to you. The religious people who are in religious system needs to understand that the holiness and the beauty of the bride of Christ is not gained by their doing some religious deeds. The holiness is given to the bride. And this is how it stands. This is how Scripture explains it. It tells us here in chapter 8 that it was granted to her that she was arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. What is that fine linen? That clean and white linen that makes her so holy and so pure. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So Isaiah explains that fine linen and that robe of righteousness. It tells us here, I will greatly rejoice in my God, for he, who is he? Jesus Christ himself. He has clothed me with that garment of salvation and with that robe of righteousness. That takes away any religious act on our part. It cannot compare to what Jesus did for us. And what is this thing that Jesus did for us? He died on the cross for us. His blood was shed for us. And he cleansed us from all our unrighteousness. And this is how we achieve that holiness, that purity that John saw in the portals of glory. It was so pure and holy that it overcame him, and he wanted to worship the person that showed it to him. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it tells us very clearly what that righteousness is that we have achieved. It tells us in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the laws and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Our righteousness is very simply the faith that brings salvation that God has given to us. We do not somehow achieve that faith ourselves. The Bible teaches us that every man has been granted a measure of faith. And that measure of faith comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is called here the faith of Jesus Christ that he gives to us. And that measure of faith has been given to every person on the planet. But the question that is asked every person on this planet, what happens when you realize the way of salvation and it has been told to you? Do you put that faith into action? Do you plant it into your heart that it can bring forth holiness and purity? If you don't, then you will miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. God has given it to you. He has placed it into you. If you don't do something with it, then it'll do you no good. And you will have to suffer the consequences of your choice. And what is that consequences? We, the ones who have turned that faith into righteousness and holiness, will rejoice with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. But those who take that faith and throw it aside, those who don't do nothing with it, they will have to spend their eternity separated from God and living in the eternal lake of fire, apart from the beauty and the holiness that God wanted to give them. This is how it's going to come to pass. There's no use trying to religionize the Word of God. There's no use trying to explain things away. There's no use trying to do your best. The Bible says there's only one way, and there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. We need to take what he gives us and apply it to our hearts so that our hearts can become pure and holy. Yes, the Bible teaches us that we are desperately wicked, constantly evil, and until we take that measure of faith, plant it into our hearts and become holy and pure by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, all the efforts and the achievements that we are trying to perform in our own selves and in our own flesh will help us nothing. So give Jesus your life and heart today and become a part of the Bride of Christ. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Christ was crucified, and for me he died, so from sin's bondage I could be free. Then he rose again, he's at the Father's right hand, interceding for my every need. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know he'll be waiting for me.
Study of the power and the position that God gives to his believers, our hearts cannot fully comprehend of what is in store for us and what lies ahead for us. Yes, many of Christ's children today cannot even believe of the power that he gives to us while we are here on this earth. He tells us in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Many believers today do not take this scripture as something that God wants us to take to heart. Many will say, these things have gone out with the apostles. These things were only for a selected few. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his church, and his church has been in operation for the last 2,000 years and will continue until the Lord returns for them in the rapture. Throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, the four Gospels, the Lord God called his disciples fools and slow of heart and unbelieving. He simply was trying to tell them that what I am telling you and showing you is not some myth or some fairy tale. What I'm showing you and telling you is really going to come to pass. One time in Luke chapter 10, he tells his disciples to go out and heal the sick and cast out devils. And it tells us they came back with joy, telling the Lord Jesus Christ that not only sickness and disease had to depart, but the spirits, the evils, the devils were also in subject unto them. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, that is really nothing. That is really nothing to rejoice over compared to what you're going to get. So he tells them, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the real rejoicing. And then you turn to Revelation chapter 19, where the Apostle John is shown the glory and the beauty of the bride of Christ. When I studied this, I came to the realization that the Apostle John saw the total glory and the beauty of the bride of Christ in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, when she was arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And then with that fine linen, John also saw the total fulfillment of the bride of Christ. And here is what the Apostle John did. And this, we can relate to. When you go to a football game and our favorite team scores, everybody screams and shouts and dances around. When you see on TV some young teenage girl getting crowned for some beauty pageant she won, she jumps up and down, she screams, she almost faints. And you see these things on TV, how people are overcome by their emotions when they win millions of dollars or when they win some prize. Yes, that is the emotional part of a human being. But I want to explain to you what happened to the Apostle John. You have to remember he has been an apostle of Christ. He's been walking with Jesus. He saw many of those signs and wonders. He did many of those powerful things himself. But once he sees the power and the beauty of the bride of Christ, he is overcome with emotion. Remember, he's 90 years old. He doesn't jump up and down. The Bible doesn't say that. No, he is overcome. And he falls at the feet of him that shows him those things and starts to worship. He was totally out of control. He could not contain himself. That's how beautiful and glorious the bride of Christ was. I believe the Apostle John saw the bride standing there in all her beauty and all her wealth and all her possessions. He could not handle it. He could not take it. Even when he was in his spiritual state in heaven, he simply lost control of himself and started to worship the person that showed it to him. So you can use your imagination a little bit of what glory we are going to possess one of these days. So next time you watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on TV when he wins those $1 million, you will see the vanity of everything. When you see people winning big lottery things on TV, or somebody being advertised as winning a big lottery ticket, you will see the vanity, because soon that person will have to die and leave everything. But John saw the beauty of the bride of Christ, and it's never going to end. The possessions, the glory, the incredible riches are going to be ours throughout eternity. That should give you a cause for joy. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, that's not really the case for rejoicing when the devils are in subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Let the Lord open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Oh, we hope we have to